If you're online, you have not watched the, you've not heard the charades that was going on in the room, and we apologize about that, but obviously some microphones were not working properly. So now it's not your computer or your phone that's the problem. It is our problem. So I think we got it going. I'm just going to let it hang. We're talking this morning about tools, and one of those tools that I've yet to figure out is electronics. So I think we're on. I know we're in the room. I think we're online. Good morning to all of you. For all of you who did not hear me, what I was trying to say is I brought this up here because I did not want to be outdone by Marta, who had her own show of Bibles. I have outdone her on the numbers of Bibles that we brought. These are tools, and the obvious is through our songs, through our scripture reading, through our Marta's message this morning, I want to just absolutely piggyback on the backside of that. I will tell you this, if you've not received one of these sermon notes for children or sermon notes in the room, these for others, we have those in back. Jeff, if you don't mind, one more time, if somebody needs one, either a kid version or an adult version, we have those and we can hand those out. We're going to just start passing those out each Sunday. If you're online, you can also get one off the QR code that's there. I am going to do my best to go very quickly in the beginning of this because the second half of this message is the most critical part. It's because it's the challenge pieces of this. All right? The question I would first ask all of us is, what it is that you listen to your source of news, music, and anything else. In our church, we have about a year and a half, 2 years ago, we started dividing our group church up by age groups, and we called them for party purposes, and we used terminology that made sense to them. I'm in the, we had the older crowd, older than me, that we call the vinyls, because that's how they listen to music. We have the next crowd, which are the 8-track tape player team. That's me, and that's cool. Then we had the cassette group, right? Because you could fast forward that one. Some of us remember well. And then, of course, the magical CD comes along. You can do all kinds of things. And then you got all kinds of streaming things. And, of course, now in this younger crowd, I don't even know what the newest is, but Spotify would certainly what we called them because, you know, they have no idea what it's like to plug in something and make it run. We all get our information at different ages and different times based upon the technology of the time. But as has already been pointed out, technology reflects how you receive that. It also reflects sometimes what goes into your mind and what kind of things that you play off of. The kind of music you listen to obviously reflects and actually does affect your and our decision-making processes through all kinds of life. The signs that we read. We got signs of all kinds these days, right? And some of you who are my age would remember the band in 1971 that was called the Five-Man Electric Band that had the song, sign, sign, everywhere a sign, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind, do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign? That's the chorus. It's all about hippies, actually. Long-haired hippie people do not apply is one of the lines in the song. But we reflect our lives based upon not just the signage, but what we bring in, intake into our lives, and that shapes who we really are. What you allow in, what you listen to, what you read and apply into your life shapes all of the important decisions of your life. This whole summer, we have said, continue to say, that the Proverbs that we've been reading, we've called it merging God's wisdom with our real lives. And it was messages about integrity and money and dating. We actually didn't do that sermon, but it is certainly about parenting. It is about how to control your tongue, the positive encouraging side as well as the negativity that comes in. Certainly sexual conduct is a big part of the Proverbs and how that leisure life, which we had a sermon on that. Literally everything is reflected on how you what you believe, what you bring in, what you listen to. It is a true statement to say that they say in the world out there, that in the modern world now, every human being, at least certainly in the West, comes across, you know how many messages come to you every day? You certainly don't read them all, but are put in front of every human being, somewhere between 4,000 and 10,000 per day. There's a lot out there. And so what we are in the business of doing here is recognizing that the Proverbs, as we're nearing the end of this series, this isn't intended to be an end of a series of anything, but it's what Proverbs is addressing is what you listen to, what you believe, what you literally put here infects and affects everything that you do in your life, which brings us to Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6, which has already been read, but I'm going to read it again. Let's read it out loud. I believe it's on the screen. Proverbs 30. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, or He will rebuke you and prove you a liar. I grew up with the Bible. Marta told her story very briefly. I'll tell you part of mine later. But I grew up with the Bible in my life. I have one that was given to me at birth that my mother still has. And those oftentimes maybe aren't necessarily read, but they're sort of symbolic in some ways. The Bible is never intended to be just symbolic, but no doubt about it, as a baby gift, you give a baby a Bible, right, at their birth, then the obvious is that baby doesn't read yet, but it reflects something that we hope, as Marta illustrated well, as we hope that you grow into understanding the value of that. I'm going to tell my story in a minute. But in my world, I grew up with the Bible so much that there's no doubt about it, that it was a part of my thinking life. Literally, I was taught to bring a physical Bible to church or to a Bible study every time I went. And why? Was it symbolic? No, it's because we're opening this up together in that way. We're growing in that. I do believe the Bible. I've heard messages of the Bible about people who say, I believe the Bible everywhere from the index to the maps. You know, it's just kind of an arrogant, slightly arrogant way to say it. I believe it all. I actually do believe it all. But in that case, we're going to investigate some of the serious messages about what it is that we really put in our lap when we open our Bible. So this really is a sermon from the Bible about the Bible in its totality. Let me give you five quick points, and I want you to hear from someone else. I have five declarations down in our pursuit of wisdom from the Word of God. So here are the declarations. These are in your notes. Number one, attaining real wisdom is the goal. It's the goal of Proverbs. It starts, Proverbs 1 says, you want real wisdom? You want to be wise? The fear of God, you know, is the beginning of wisdom. But all that. So the wisdom part of that is wrapped around the knowing and the understanding and the pursuit of God. But here's what I put in the point. Attaining real wisdom is the ultimate goal. But this pursuit of godly wisdom runs opposite and counter to what the world communicates to us. Now, I'm not just like, oh, anti-world. In that, you know, like nothing in the world is good. I'm not saying that. But let me be clear. The messaging, this is not a fake news comment or anything else, but I'm talking about the world's messages for thousands of years. If you follow just humanity's messaging, is counter to what God is communicating. You've got to understand that. Real wisdom, real ultimate wisdom is not found in that. It is found in this. Okay? Let me kind of put it to you this way. Proverbs 9, verse 10, verse we read way back, in the beginning of summer, the fear of God is the beginning of the wisdom, the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Let that kind of statement sort of wash over your mind for a minute and help you understand this. What it really says is the beginning of wisdom is the knowledge of the Holy Almighty God. And how do you know the Holy Almighty God? You've got to know what He says. I mean, that's just as simple as can be. Youth director in our church who is standing and waiting to try to leave New Orleans and delayed again for obvious hurricane reasons to try to go to an important place overseas, he and his lovely wife. But he had this great quote that he actually stole from somebody else that says, if you want to hear God speak, read the Bible. And if you say, I want to hear him speak out loud, read the Bible out loud. How can you get more simple than that? And it's really true. So let's go to number two. The number two point I have is that the finite mind can neither derive nor certify infinite truth. Now, again, I'm not insulting us as humanity. Yes, we are people that can explore and learn and grow in our knowledge and abilities to do things. But it's still very finite mind. Oh my goodness. Compared to all the things out in the world. So the finite mind can neither derive nor certify true, infinite, or eternal truth. In Matthew 16, when Jesus was with Peter, Peter said, oh, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who you are. I recognize you. That's that story. It was a great story in Matthew 16. And Jesus' response back to him when he said, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, Son of the living God. Jesus then returned in reply and said, oh, you're blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this truth to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Simple thing that Jesus was saying, the finite mind cannot really ultimately grasp what the Holy Spirit of God is about to reveal to you. Eternal truth has an eternal source. That's what he's really saying. 1 Corinthians, when the Apostle Paul writes this down, I am quoting this one in the Living Bible, which has a bit of a history in my own personal life. The Living Bible is a paraphrase. Some people love paraphrases, some do not. I use them well. There's a good spot for them. There's some documents over here. We'll talk about paraphrases a little bit. But a paraphrase really just says, I'm going to explain a little bit more. But in a paraphrase version of 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, when they were struggling with some stuff, he says about as they were trying to understand the gravity of the Almighty God, he said, stop fooling yourself. I didn't put this on the screen. I got the reference on there. But it says in the Living Bible, stop fooling yourselves. If you count yourself above average in intelligence, as judged by this world's standards, you better put that all aside and be a fool rather than let it hold you back from the true wisdom that is from above. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. It says in the book of Job, this is Paul said, let me tell you what Job wrote, Old Testament Job, hundreds of years before this. And Job, he says, God uses man's own brilliance to trap him. He stumbles over his wisdom and falls. And then Paul says, and again, let me tell you what the psalmist says. We told that the Lord knows full well how the human mind reasons and how foolish and futile it is. So do not be proud of following the wise men of this world. Is he saying, don't listen to people? No, that's not what he's saying. He's not saying don't, you know, follow the advice of others. You know, don't read that wrong. But eternal truth is only found with the eternal God. Finite minds can neither derive or certify the ultimate, infinite, eternal truth. Alternate paths to ultimate truths are all dead ends. You know what rabbit holes are? Rabbit holes in the internet world, you know what they are, right? You pull up your phone and you say, I'm going to search for this. And I've had this happen to me many times. When I search for something, all of a sudden I start getting info back on my news feed about that. Because I chased a rabbit hole. That could be a news item or it could be just you're looking for a new bicycle. Whatever it is, you go down that path and they start throwing info. And if you follow that right, pretty soon you go, this is true. Especially when it comes to news items, because we fall in a rabbit hole. Guys, the truth is here, not in a rabbit hole. The truth is here, not in a Google search, which I tend to use a lot for certain items. But that's why in the beginning of this summer, we preached the Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Do not lean on your understanding. So trying to find out your life, find out life on your own is maddening, cyclical, insanity, and suicidal. Third, divine revelation is the only authentic reality and the total and final sufficient source of all wisdom. Divine revelation. Let's just put it to you very simply this way. In Genesis 1:1, it said, God, when God spoke, he said, the world came into being. Let there be light. Let there be this. Let there be everything that exists. And we start there, a theological truth that I've last year tried to build on that. We find in John chapter 1, a story we read at Christmas time every year. And the Word, that Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us and lived among us. We beheld his glory. And then we go to Colossians 1:15, our highlight verse for all of last year. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Divine revelation is the only authentic reality and the final sufficient source for everything and all wisdom. Number four, God's Word, the Bible, is the only proven foundation for one's life. It is trustworthy, it is truthful, it is reliable, not in its overarching and overall message and through all the details of it as well. Does it deserve a study? Yes. Marta did a great job of pointing out, hey, I learned this verse, but the more in Jeremiah, but the more I discovered it, I went, it's a little bit bigger than just this little quick quote on the top of a coffee mug. It's deeper. It explores. It literally sort of challenges you in all ways, and it should. That's why Psalm 119, the entirety of the longest chapter in all the Bible, Psalm 119, is all about the Word of God. And that was written long before the New Testament was completed, right? It was even written. But it said in that, how can a young person keep his way pure? By obeying his word, I've tried hard to find. Don't let me wander from your commands, for I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I learned that verse many, many years ago, and what a truth it is. And then Psalm 119, 105, the song that we just sang, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And number five, God's eternal and finite truth is foolishness to the world, but is life to anyone who will listen. In 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 1, Paul's letter to that early church, and he says to us, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know that this very power, it is the very power of God, as the Scriptures says, and Paul himself in this letter quotes an Old Testament truth of Scripture of God's Word. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. Sounds like I'm insulting human thinking. No, I'm just saying it's not there. You want real truth? You want to invest in something in your life? You invest in the Bible. We'll talk to you in practical words about that for just a little while longer, but I want to invite up a dear, dear friend. Actually, there used to be two stools sitting right there, and I want them, I've had those out a while ago. I don't know who put them away, but I would love to, but Miss Blakely, would you mind coming on up here for a minute? And I'd love to bring Blakely up here, if you could. I had those stools flipped out for a reason. No, you couldn't get the microphone to work? They could not get the microphone to work? No? Okay. I don't like this mic too much, but Blakely, let's sit back a little bit. There we go. Everybody welcome Blakely Owens here. Good to see you, Blakely. Blakely has been a part of our Global Impact Celebration in what year? You need to talk, 2018. So 3 years ago, she is a global worker serving in Eastern Europe and a part of the people that we pray about a lot and for. She serves on a wonderful team of other people from our church as well and has lived overseas in Eastern Europe now, well, kind of officially now for what, 3 years?
5 years.
5 years now. Anyway, we're very proud of her about that. Now, the conversation with her is not about so much her work overseas that she does, and we're so proud. She just happens to be visiting today into our church, but it's much more in depth than that. It is really about this very subject. But let me also bring it aside. She just flew up here this week for a few days from Mississippi. Your family lives in what town in Mississippi?
Hattiesburg.
And how are they doing in light of this hurricane that's coming?
Hattiesburg's about 100 miles from the Gulf Coast. So they're probably not going to be impacted as strongly as people in, say, New Orleans or southern Louisiana. But they're expecting to have really heavy rains and wind.
Okay. Well, be in prayer for them, and thank you for being with us. She was supposed to return today. That is, flight has been delayed for obvious reasons. But I wanted you, Blakely, to tell us a little bit about your journey with the Bible in your life. When did that become real for you?
So I grew up in the church. My parents are both believers. And I was saved at a pretty young age and baptized. I was like about 7, I think. But other than being in church and being in Sunday school and that sort of thing, I didn't really understand that I could read the Bible for myself. I think I had this idea that I was way too young to do that, that I wouldn't understand, and there was just really no point. And I was probably about 13 when one of my Sunday school teachers was just really encouraging all of us, saying, you can read the Bible. You can read it every day. You can read the whole Bible if you want to. And that seemed unlikely. But I was like, well, I can try that. So kind of, I guess, 7th grade or 8th grade, during that school year, I read through the whole Bible. Now, there's a lot I didn't understand. But that, I cannot express how much that transformed my life. There were so many things that I just hadn't got. Things like that I needed to be sharing my faith. That it wasn't just, oh, just be a nice person and somehow people would just, like, by osmosis, just, you know, intuit the gospel, that I needed to actually talk to them about it. So that was a really huge, impactful moment in my life.
Obviously, the Bible, the Word of God speaking to you was a major part of the calling of how you responded to what you're doing now. Could you mind taking a moment and talk about that?
Yeah, sure. So I was very reluctantly called to go overseas by the Lord. I had sort of my own impressions of what that kind of person looked like, kind of personality and gifts they would have. And I was like, well, that's not me. So I felt kind of internally and externally this kind of sense that, yeah, that's definitely what I should do. And that's what the Lord wanted me to do. And I felt like that was some kind of mistake. And sooner or later, God would figure that out and just kind of let me off the hook. But I was praying about it actively, and I was active in the church, and I had people mentoring me. And I feel like for me, there's one particular passage that was just kind of like a revelation. Well, literally, the Bible is a revelation. But for me personally, it was just a huge discovery. And that's, let me see if I can remember. In 2 Corinthians, when Paul is talking about the thorn in his flesh, and how he prayed to the Lord that the Lord would take it away. I'm not going to say my calling was a thorn in my flesh, but it was something I struggled with. And, you know, he was told by the Lord, my grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in weakness. And I just sort of, it totally transformed my whole mindset. And I thought, oh, so wait, that means that, like, if this person with my sort of what I felt like my insufficiencies, if I submit to this calling, people are going to look at my life and say, oh, well, there's no way that girl could have ever done that unless God was somehow involved. That it was actually my insufficiencies that would point to the power of God and to his work and his ability to do this thing that he was calling me to do. So, I mean, that took a lot of the pressure off, for one thing. It's like, oh, I actually don't have to be this super spiritual mega Christian to do this. I just have to be obedient, and the Lord is going to work through my weaknesses.
And you feel like he certainly has. I know that he has.
Well, I still have a lot of weaknesses. So I see the Lord working. So, yeah, that's definitely true.
So can you give us an idea even now of, I mean, you're not a perfect person. Mm-hmm. Like all of us, and we have our own battles of mm-hmm. good days and bad days. But what is a basic habit for you about reading God's word even now?
Mm-hmm. So I don't do this every year, but I pretty consistently do try to read through the whole Bible. I'm a very kind of type A person. I do like having a schedule, and I'm also kind of absent-minded, so that sort of helps keep me on track. And for me personally, again, it's not for everybody. It's certainly not a requirement. But I think that's important for me because there are lots of parts of the Bible that I would rather avoid, especially if I am sinning. And I've found that reading through the whole Bible, maybe not in a year, but over a certain period of time, it doesn't let me escape from any of that. And it sort of allows for the whole Word of God to speak to me. And it also challenges me to study and to really, like Marta was talking about, just try and get deeper into the Word, because there are parts of the Bible that I still don't fully understand. And so it's always a challenge to keep coming back to those tests and say, okay, let's kind of like put on the boxing gloves and let's go and figure this out, because this is also God's Word. And, you know, I feel like we have a responsibility to approach that very seriously and to try and understand what God wants to tell us through all of the Bible.
Okay. There's a lot more you could be said. You could certainly visit, all of you in the room could visit with Blakely this morning at the end of the service. And again, she was a part of our GIC that we had 3 years ago. We pray for you all the time, and we'll continue to be that in that way. I wanted to have you to get a glimpse of this, though. A young woman who has dedicated her life to Christ. Again, she's not a superstar anymore than you are a superstar, or I'm a superstar, or anybody else is. But here, what she has done is the Word of God that has impacted all of her life and still moves in that way because of the habit that she does of allowing God's Word to really speak to her every day, every year, every week, every month in that way. And so I want to thank Blakely for coming and giving us just a short insight into her life. Let's thank Miss Blakely, if you would. When our lives we're walking, it's a lot like walking on a water across a storm of sorts. It's just insecure in every way. You will not find stability into your life until you literally learn to walk with God. You will not walk with God until you learn how to regularly and constantly put your feet upon His words. My grandmother, who I love to brag on occasionally, died about 17, 18 years ago. She was 99 and a half. When I went to visit her one day, true story, I've said it before, but it's absolutely true. Went to visit her, and she was in a care facility at that point, and I walked in to visit her grandma, my grandmother. The image that I saw was what sears in my head. She was a Bible teacher until she taught a Sunday school class till she was 96. She taught the senior adult Sunday school class. They were all like 20 years younger than she was. She was a student of the Word of God. She knew her Bible. I couldn't tell her stories she didn't know. The image that I had when I went, probably just 2 or 3 months before she died, was I went into the room and she was sound asleep laying on the bed. At, you would expect at 99 plus. But what was most intriguing was her Bible was wide open, laying in her chest. She fell asleep as an old woman who had read the Bible so many times, marked it up in every way she could. But where was she finding her source of strength? Not in a Netflix movie, not in the newspaper, but in the Word of God. The greatest challenge that I have for us as a church family, we're about to walk into a new academic year, 2 weeks from today, on September the 12th, with all the chaos that's going on in the world, if I had one thing that I could ask of our church family, is to learn how to be a student of the Word of God. Don't be 3 miles wide and an inch deep. Walk on water. Walk on troubled waters. The tools that I laid up here this morning were some of my Bibles. That some of these mean a tremendous amount to me personally. This little Good News for Modern Man New Testament came out in like 1970, and I was a part of an FCA, Fellowship of Christian Camp, Athletes Camp, when I was like a freshman in high school. Our coaches took this to this camp, which is kind of remarkable. And in that camp, it was one of the first times that we were challenged to read the Word of God. And there's a handful of people that were professional athletes that signed the front of my Bible. Somebody from, there's a USC Trojan. We don't even like those guys, right? Name is Mike Ryan. God bless Mike Ryan. But he wrote in there 1 Corinthians 10:13. And a few others. Here's the football Cardinals. Professional athlete. Here's the New Orleans Saints. A player, Mike. I can't read his last name. But these people at that camp challenged us as young people to say, dig into the Word of God. And it was one of the first times I ever really did that. That led me on a journey through multiple Bibles. Now, granted, you might think, Billy, of course you have a lot of Bibles. You're a Bible teacher. And that's true. I have lots. I counted them up the other day. I think I have 27 study Bibles, and I actually use them all. But I don't just read my Bible to get ready for sermons. May God strike me dead if I did, seriously. These are a part of my life. Right now, currently, this is my everyday morning Bible. It sits by my living room chair. And if somebody moves it, I get really ticked off. It's kind of gotten torn up a little bit, but it's a Swindoll study Bible. And I have absolutely just poured myself over this. Different translations, different versions, different times. And in all of that, these study Bible. I leave these here for you guys in the room. And if you're online, come visit me at the office sometime and I'll show you my other array of them. I'm not a superstar at this thing by any stretch, but I also did this that I'm going to leave for you. And they're going to leave them here at the church. Again, if you're online and you want to come by and pick them up, there's a PDF of this also on our, or going to be online at our website. But it's something that I wrote this last spring, and it's really Billy Arnold's 10 tips on how to read your Bible. There's nothing magical about this. There's plenty of other of these kinds of things. But it is, I think, pretty helpful. But the bottom line is, do it like I do or don't do it like I do. Marta had some incredible suggestions how you walk the journey, but whatever you do, walk through the Word of God. Let the Word of God speak into your life. For some of you who may be saying, well, gee, if you're new in the Bible and you're saying, how do I really trust the Bible? How do I know it really came about later in the academic year? Our pastoral team had this discussion, and I'm really hoping to bring out a class that you can take about how it is that the Bible became the Bible that we know, because that confuses a lot of people. There's a lot of parts and pieces you go, I don't really get it. There's 66 books, and, you know, 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament. And there's lots of different kinds of literature, and they came at different times, and some, you know, groups have different additional books and blah, 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 all the different kind of things. And yes, and you're right, you can be confusing. Blakely said it too. Sometimes you kind of get confused. How do you wrestle with this stuff? That is a lifelong study. But let me trust you this, tell you this, this is the Word of God. It's also the very reason that even in our church, starting, now a lot of groups are doing it, but starting right away, we have groups in our church who are taking this message and then digging deeper, which is on the backside of even the sermon notes. Every sermon is intended to be just a launching pad for you to dig a little deeper into whatever this is. And in this case today, the digging deeper is a little bit more on how do you dig deeper into understanding the value of the Word of God. This is also a PDF online. It's also a piece of paper in this room. Bottom line, let the Word of God speak to you. Privately, quietly, in a group, sitting in your living room chair in the early morning or late at night or on a lunch break. But never, never stray the Word of God. Psalm 119. What is it that song we said? Your word is a lamp to my feet.